Well, good morning. Is it working now?
Yes.
It is. It's lovely to be here. And thank you, Louise, and everybody for your warm welcome to Gina and myself. It seems strange to be talking about a disease called leprosy in the year 2022. It is 2020. I've lost track of years through COVID. I think we lost the whole of last year, didn't we? And it is 2022. Because really, we should have seen leprosy wiped out. We should have seen it cleared off the face of the earth, surely, after all those years. But we haven't. And in a few minutes, we're going to show you a short film of our research center in Nepal. And it will show you the work that's going on. But can I take you back to over 140 years ago? A young Irishman by the name of Wellesley Bailey had gone over to India to seek his fortune. His brother was a policeman in the British police force over there, and he'd got this young man in his early 20s, Wellesley was in his early 20s, a position over in India. So off he sailed from Dublin via Liverpool to India to seek his fortune. And he did seek his fortune. He did get his fortune. His fortune was winning souls for Jesus. Wasn't to do with money, because when he got there, this young man found lodging with a German Presbyterian minister in a small village in India. And this German minister had given this young man a place to stay while he was waiting for his call up to the police. And this German minister had done something very strange. He'd welcomed people with leprosy into his own home and his own land against the will of the local people. They were up in arms because they said people with leprosy need to live on the rubbish tip where they've lived for generations. We don't want them near us. We don't want them in our home. We don't want them in our village. They must stay there because this disease is a curse from God and we don't want anything to do with it. It's so contagious. We don't want anything to do with it. And this minister really ignored them and loved people. It touched this young man's heart and he said this: if ever there was a Christ-like work, it was this, to show mercy to people who nobody else showed mercy to. And it changed this man's whole lifestyle. He got a job, instead of going to the police, he got a job teaching English to rich people and their children in India. He saved up enough money to come back to Ireland. He married his fiancée, took her back to India and started the leprosy mission. 140 years old, a young man who saw injustice and saw an opportunity to show Jesus' love to people. And after all these years, that's what the leprosy mission still does. Yes, we can cure leprosy these days with 3 antibiotics if we catch it early enough. Yes, we can do operations to change people's lives. Yes, we can do all these things. But yes, we do it in the name of Jesus, and we're not ashamed of the gospel. That's why we call ourselves still the leprosy mission. It is a mission to show Jesus' love in action and by words to people that the rest of the world where they live shun. It's a privilege for me to have worked with Leprosy Mission and to now be a volunteer. Well, that's the potted history of the work that they do. This disease, I won't go into it, it will just take so long. This disease is one of the least catching, the least infectious diseases in the world. It is very difficult to catch it. You have to have a terribly weak immune system to catch this disease. It's passed by coughing and sneezing, it's airborne, it's a bacteria. That's why antibiotics will cure it. But this disease does so much more. We'll see in a minute from Scripture how people with leprosy were treated in the days of Jesus. We can see that if you want to read through the Old Testament and see the laws and regulations around people with leprosy. But you know, today, those laws still apply to people. In many of the world's religions, leprosy is still classed as a curse from God. And therefore, people of those religions would say, we're not interfering with God's work. He's cursed these people. We don't want them. It's a terribly sad disease where, you know, if any of us are suffering from any sort of disease today, people are identified by a disease and treated accordingly. As I get older, various things. But no, nobody shuns me. Nobody says we don't want you near us. Even with COVID, which was such a dreadful shock to all of us. We didn't treat people with COVID as being people who were cursed by God and kept away from. We wanted to keep ourselves safe and our families safe, which is understandable. But this disease of leprosy still today has this dreadful stigma attached to it. I'd like to show you a quick presentation of some work in Anandaban Hospital in Nepal. Have we got a... Sorry, can't. Sorry. We'll get there. If we don't, we won't worry. We'll go on to Scripture, which is always the best place to start anyway. Carry on. I shall carry on. So I'd like to look at an instance of the way Jesus dealt with somebody with leprosy, people with leprosy, and it's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And I'm beginning to read at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." There are a few short verses that contain so, so much. They contain the essence of the gospel. And you would expect that, wouldn't you? Because these are the words of Jesus. As he traveled the border between Samaria and Galilee, on the border generally is where displaced people are. And we see that tragically in our own lifestyle, in our own lifetime, right now on the border of the Ukraine, on the borders of Ukraine, people displaced by this dreadful war. People wondering what's going to happen to them. People wondering, are my family going to be kept safe? Wondering, am I going to be safe? Are my children going to grow up safe? People on the border of Samaria are going through a dreadful time today. As most wars, and quite often in most wars, that's what happened. People are on the borders. I won't go into any thoughts about the war that's going on at the moment, because I haven't got the mental capacity, to be honest with you, to fathom out what's going on. But I heard a quote this week that really stuck with me, and it said this: the world might be falling apart, but actually in Jesus, the world is falling into place. The world is falling into place. It's not a shock to God, however dreadful it is. It's not a shock to him. The world is falling into place around us. These times we're living in, the world is falling into place. Because we are the ones who follow and trust in Jesus. He knows. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. We know we can trust it to him. But he is calling us to do our part. As Jesus traveled on the border between Samaria and Galilee, he just delivered some amazing teaching, different sermons. He'd just been involved. Oh, it's coming on any minute now. He was involved with teaching his disciples and people listening to him about the kingdom, about the way the kingdom worked. I'm going to stop right for a minute, and so we're going to see if we can get this going.
Earlier diagnosis and more effective treatments would have made a life-changing difference to Shakti, and this will become a reality within the research team. We asked Dr. Santosh at an end event to tell us more about the team's other breakthroughs and why a new research center is so desperately needed.
If
Well, thank you for watching that. It's a very moving film. And Steph Reed and her family, I don't know if anybody saw, was it Dancing on Ice she was on? Dancing on Ice recently, that's Steph from there. And her story is quite amazing with the leprosy mission because they were on holiday in Nepal and she asked the leprosy mission if she could go and visit the hospital with her family. And sometimes, you know, in the world of fundraising, I was fundraising manager for the Leprosy Mission, we are in danger at the times of chasing celebrities, you know, trying to get somebody to do something for you. And it was the opposite way around with Steph. She chased us, and she's now vice president of Leprosy Mission. She's a great person who has been through that disability and that loss of hope at first, and seeing God change things around her. So we're very grateful to Steph as she is. So I have leaflets dotted about if you'd like to take one later. But back to the story. So Jesus was on the border of Samaria and Galilee when it says in Scripture that 10 men met him. And I find that very interesting that they met Jesus. They were looking out for Jesus. They knew his name. 10 men with leprosy who really should have not been where they were, because according to Scripture, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, people with leprosy needed to live outside of the camp, away from other people, segregated, kept away. And you can understand in Bible times people thinking a disease was so contagious that we didn't want people anywhere near us. But that's where they were, and they were pronounced unclean. And being unclean meant that whatever religion you were, and particularly if you were Jewish, Israeli in those days, you couldn't go to the synagogue. You couldn't worship with your family. You couldn't be in a house with the family. You were unclean. You were kept away from people. And yet these 10 men with leprosy somehow knew the name of Jesus. And I'm only guessing here, because Scripture doesn't tell us any more than that, that somewhere along the line they'd heard about this man Jesus. Earlier in this gospel, we see Jesus reaching out and touching a man with leprosy. First of all, the man with leprosy in that story shouldn't have come anywhere near Jesus, but he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Secondly, the other man in that story should not have touched him. Touching him would make that person unclean. But that man touched this man with leprosy, and his name was Jesus. The moment he touched the man with leprosy, Jesus became unclean. The man became clean. Jesus became unclean according to the rituals and the rules of the day. Isn't that the gospel? He who knew no sin became sin for us to make us clean. It's fascinating. Somewhere along the line, these men had heard the name of Jesus because they called out to him, "Jesus, have pity on us." You know, when we're out and about planting seeds and sharing our testimony and sharing the things that we know about Jesus, we've no idea what that does to people. I want people to fall on the floor in front of me and receive Jesus as their Savior. I want that to happen. It's never happened yet. But you know, those seeds we plant, somewhere along the line, people remember that seed, and the Holy Spirit will let that seed grow till that person is ready to call out to Jesus. Don't stop planting seeds. Don't stop sharing your testimony. Don't stop sharing the things of God in simple ways, in natural ways, in the places that we frequent, whether it's our homes, cafes, wherever we go, talking about our faith. Because our faith and our seeds that we plant one day will make a difference. One day those seeds will start to grow like these 10 men. Jesus, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Why else would they know the name of Jesus? Why else would they know that this man, Jesus, could have pity on them? Why else would they know that? And when Jesus saw their faith, he didn't stop and he didn't say anything to them apart from this: go and show yourself to the priests. That was the law. The priest, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the priest was the only person that could say whether you were clean or unclean. And I'm wondering whether this particular priest, it doesn't say who he was or where he was, had ever seen anybody healed from leprosy before. It must have shocked him. All of a sudden, a man known to have leprosy had come, or 10 men with leprosy had come, and all of a sudden they were clean and cured. What an amazing thing to happen. But it's an amazing story of the power of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, and the way that Jesus handled people who were on the outside. How do we handle people who are on the outside? It's not easy, is it? I'm thinking of certain instances in our family life, in our home life, and where Jean and I live, where there are people on the outside of normal convention, and it's not easy sometimes to be friends with them or to be part of what they do. But they need to hear there's somebody who wants to bring them onto the inside. Somebody who wants to bring them into a family, the family of God. They need to hear about this man Jesus who can do that today, whatever people are facing. It takes us to have courage to reach out to people who are different, people who are marginalized, for us to plant seeds and show them Jesus' love. Because if we're not going to do that now, we've not got time, but going back into from Luke 15 all the way to where we started in Luke 17, Jesus was teaching the disciples and anybody else who was listening, because the Pharisees were about as well, teaching them about kingdom principles. It's one thing to know about kingdom principles. It's another thing to put those kingdom principles into action. And that's what Jesus did here. Go and show yourself to the priests. And then, interesting enough, to me anyway, it says, as they went, they were cured. Because they might have said, I'm not going. Who does he think he is? I'm not doing what Jesus tells me to do. Why should I? I know he says this, I know he says that, but I'm not doing that. But these 10 men, when Jesus said go, they went. And it is as they went, they were cured. As they did something, as they obeyed Jesus, that happened. And if you're looking for a miracle in your own life today, if you're looking for change, if you're looking for God to intervene in some way, you need to be listening to him and then doing what he says. Doing what he says. As they went, they were cleansed, they were healed. Basically, in those days, leprosy, and even today, would leave discoloration marks on them. So they saw, as they were moving, I don't know how long they'd had leprosy sore, but they saw that there was a change. They saw there was a change in them. As they went, they were healed. And, you know, when I was at Sunday school, a long, long time ago now, I remember this story, and quite often when this passage is preached on, it's about giving thanks to God. And that's quite right, acknowledging what God's done for us. But this is so much more than that. Because that one man who came back to thank Jesus was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. If you look at the history of Samaritans and Israel, the word hate is used. They hated each other. Samaritans basically were part of Israel. They were a branch off Israel. And they'd intermarried. That's why one of the parts of scripture called them dogs. They were called mongrel dogs. You're mixed race. You're not holy people. You're mixed race. And yet Jesus didn't judge this man. Jesus didn't single him out and say, you nine, part of Israel, you're okay. You, I don't want anything to do with you. We mustn't be like that. Whatever people believe, whatever people do, whatever people are, we treat them because Christ is in them. There's some sort of seed within everybody. Let's make man in our own image. Let's make women in our own image. There's a godliness in people that needs to be brought out by the word of God, by our love, and by the name of Jesus. It's a fantastic story that this one man, when he found out he was healed, turn back and praise God. We can transform society. We can transform the world by the method that Jesus has given us. I've been listening about the war in Ukraine. Why doesn't God intervene? I can't answer that. You probably realize now I'm not God. I can't answer that, but I do know this. He did intervene 2,000 years ago. God came to earth 2,000 years ago as a baby in the form of Jesus. If we put our trust in Jesus, our striving, our fighting within us ceases. The more we spread that message, the more we live that out, the more we tell people, the more that we experience what God is doing through us with other people, the more the fighting within us stops. the more the fighting within society. So it sounds simplistic, that, doesn't it? But that's God's way. This is a wonderful story, and I would commend you to have another look at it sometime, just to sort of eke out some of the theology that was in there. It's absolutely fascinating. 5-6 short verses, the whole of the gospel, the whole of the way that we can plant seeds into people's lives that will transform them, transform society. Thank you for listening. I'd like to pray for May for us.